want to welcome everybody again. Faces that I'm not familiar with. It doesn't mean I've been here before. It doesn't mean I may have slept since. But we're so glad to have everybody here. And our prayer is that you are blessed by the music, that you are blessed by the message. This is Easter Sunday, and the greatest thing about that is that Christ is risen. And because of that, our first song is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. So let's stand and sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Righteousness, he humbled himself and Thank you. Joseph of Arimathea. I'm part of the Sanhedrin, and I was one of the 70 that did not vote in agreement to have Jesus crucified and killed. I was a secret disciple of Christ. I kept it to myself, but I didn't vote for what my counterparts wanted to do. And as we talk, those of you that know that we talked last week and we know what happened last Friday, 3 days ago, that Christ died on the cross for our sins. And at the moment of his death, a great earthquake took place and the rocks split and something amazing happened. Those that were saints, Old Testament saints, became quickened or made alive in their tomb. They didn't come out of their tomb or the sepulchres. They stayed there until the appointed time. And then Nicodemus, who was also one who struggled so much with this issue of being born again and how was it possible and all of these things, he had brought 100 pounds of spices to accompany me to take the body. And I had gone to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And I tell you what, that was very frightening. Because I had to equate myself as one of the disciples of Christ. I had to stand there and tell him that I believe in Jesus. I had to take the heat however it came, and I didn't care because something had changed in my heart. Something magnificent had worked in my heart to such a degree that I didn't care that people knew that I believed in Jesus and that I was going to follow him. And so Pilate allowed Nicodemus and I to take Jesus' body down and to prepare his body and to lay him in the tomb. And when we talked last Friday, that the soldiers had gone to the tomb. They had 16 soldiers. And 4 soldiers at a time would stand in front of the tomb. 2 on each side. And then the other 12 would sit or sleep or lay in a semicircle, guarding the perimeter or the front of the entrance to the tomb from the sides and facing on. So there's this semicircle of soldiers that are sleeping and 4 that are standing here by the tomb. And the stone had been rolled down the trench. The trench was dug lower than the doorway and was up a little high here. And the stone was here. And they removed the wedge. And the stone rolled down and dropped into the hole in front of the door. And it fit right up against the tomb where no one could enter in or out. There was no question with Roman guards. No question with a stone that was about 3,000 or 4,000 pounds would take at least 20 Roman soldiers to move the stone or to begin to. And with great effort to roll it back up and over. But I tell you, today's been an incredible day. Last week, my emotions have been so full because Jesus, the Messiah, the one whom I knew and believed in, was crucified and our hope seemed to be smashed. But I come to tell you today that there are over 500 people that recognize and have met with the risen Savior. He's alive. He rose. He's alive. And he rose. And I have to tell you about the events because early this morning, early before the sun had even come up, Mary, the mother of James, which is also the mother of Jesus, for James, the brother, half-brother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of James, and Mary of Magdalene and Salome went early to the tomb. And as they were going to the tomb, there was this great earthquake. And they were dispersed. But when the earthquake took place, God the Father had sent an angel from heaven. And he came with great speed and authority from heaven itself. And he rolled the stone away. And I want to tell you that I would like to believe that he did not just come up and take the stone and roll it over here on the top part of the trench that was built. But that he took the stone and threw it over here, far from the tomb, is just a thought that I have. And he sat on top of that rock with great victory. It was so wondrous, so phenomenal. To the soldiers, Roman soldiers, tough, stout, strong, fearless Roman soldiers were terrified and they trembled and they fell as if they were dead. Ironically speaking here, The soldiers that were guarding the tomb of a dead man fell as dead men, as the dead man lived more than he ever has before in the resurrection. Mary Magdalene went back to the tomb. And as she's going back to the tomb this morning, she noticed that the stone was moved. And she ran back to the apostles who were mourning and weeping and said, "The stone has been moved." And Peter and John ran to the tomb. John outran Peter. And he got to the tomb and he looked in, but he didn't step in. He stooped down. There was a small door, and he just kind of looked, and he could see the cloths on the table. But Peter, he went in. He stepped into the tomb, and he saw the cloths. And Jesus was not there anymore. Jesus is gone. Just an empty shell with his head cloth folded neatly at the head of the tomb. Peter and John saw an angel. The angel told him, "You look for Jesus, the Nazarene. He is not here. The one who was crucified and was killed, he is risen. He's alive. He is alive." Later, Mary Magdalene again came to the tomb. And she's standing in front of the tomb, and she's weeping. She didn't go in. She's weeping. And then she decided to stoop inside and look, and she saw at the head and at the feet of the wrappings of Jesus two angels. "Who are you looking for?" they asked. "Why are you weeping? Did you not know that it has been said that he would be delivered into the hands of sinners and would be crucified, and yet on the third day he would rise?" And she was reminded of that. And she turned around, and she saw what appeared to be the gardener. And she's looking in the tomb again, and the gardener's behind, and she doesn't recognize that it's Jesus. And so she says, "Sir, you know, if you've taken him somewhere, tell me where, and I'll take him from you." And then in that warmth of heart, and that tone of voice, and that authoritative stance of Jesus, in a way that identified the relationship between he and Mary, said, "Mary." And her whole being inside recognized that it was Jesus. And he said, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father. I go to my Father and to your Father. I go to my God and to your God. Go and tell the disciples." So she ran back to go and to tell the disciples, who were still mourning and weeping together. But then other women came to the tomb that day. As they're traveling to the site where the tomb was, they knew the stone was there. And they were wondering who was going to help them move the stone or move the stone for them. Only to find that the stone was gone. In fact, the guards were gone. There was no one there. And they went up and they looked inside the tomb, and they saw a young man sitting to the right of the body place of Jesus, where Jesus was laid. "Who are you looking for? He is not here. He is risen." They rejoiced, and they turned around, and then there were two angels standing before them. And they bowed down their faces to the ground, and he encouraged them. And he got up and he said, "This Jesus of Nazareth that you're looking for is no longer here. He was crucified and he was killed, but he is risen again." The proclamation was made. "Go and tell the disciples." And so they went and they told the disciples. In the meantime, of those 16 guards that were there, Some of them went to the chief rulers of Israel, the religious rulers. They told them what had happened. The chief religious rulers were perplexed about the situation, but they have to do something because, first of all, it's not right that they said that Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day, and now that he's gone, it's not right that he's gone either. So we have to figure something else out here. And so the Roman soldiers were afraid because they did not complete the goal, their mission as guarding the post of the burial site of Jesus of Nazareth. They knew that their lives were being threatened by Rome. And so the chief religious ruler said, take this money and you go and spread the news that the disciples came in and stole the body of Jesus. And in the meantime, we'll make sure that you stay secure, meaning that you will not be killed. We'll make sure that we will make the point and that you will not be killed. And so they spread the news. And to the day, to this very day, that's the rumor that the disciples had gone in and stole the body of Jesus. Think about the logic there. First of all, they had to contrive some sort of reasoning to convince people that Jesus had not risen from the grave, which in fact reinforces the fact that he had. The stone weighed, again, 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. It's in front of the door. It's up against the opening of the door. No one was to pass through the stone in the entrance to the tomb. Roman soldiers guarded it. There's no back door to the tomb either. How could somebody go in and steal the body? It was humanly impossible. And in fact, when you think about it, if they were to steal the body, wouldn't they have had to destroy this? Wouldn't they have had to cut this apart to get the body out? Absolutely. And yet, look what's here. It's not cut. It's not been dismantled. But the shell of the grave clothes of Jesus lay here. New life. First to be resurrected. First of many to be resurrected. Jesus said that he was the first fruit of many that would be resurrected. But do you remember what happened when Jesus died on the cross that day and the sky was blackened for those 3 hours from 12 to 3? An earthquake and the rocks split and life came to Old Testament saints that were buried. And they waited until the resurrection of Christ. What did they do? They got up and out and went into the city. What do you think they did? You think they just kind of meandered around and didn't say anything? No way. You think they went to their family? Absolutely. You think they went to their friends? Absolutely. You think that they said, look, here I am, I'm real, I'm alive from the dead, because Jesus, by his power, has given me a new body, eternal life. In heaven today, there is the body of Christ. And in heaven today, there are those that were resurrected as well. They didn't die again like the others that were raised from the dead, like Lazarus and Tabitha and others like that. A testament of the resurrection power of Jesus. Jesus rose first, and then they got out, and they went out, and they shared the gospel message that Jesus is God's Son who died for our sin, who was buried died on the cross, was buried in the grave, and rose from the grave today. People saw him. Mary Magdalene saw him. Then we need to understand that all this is happening in Sunday, first day of the week. And in that evening, all the disciples and the women that went to the tomb are in this place, and they hear the report, but they don't believe the report of these women. And Jesus, all of a sudden, enters into the midst of them. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't open the door. He simply appeared before them. And yet, he had a physical body. In fact, he said, peace be unto you, because they were afraid because of Jewish culture that if someone from the dead came back, that it meant for evil purposes. But Jesus said, peace be unto you. It really is me. I'm not a spirit. I'm body. You can look at me. But you know, Thomas wasn't there. And he even asked for a piece of broiled, they didn't even eat, they gave him a piece of broiled fish. You know, I don't know about you, but I love the fact that Jesus ate after he resurrected. Because that means that you and I will too. And our new resurrected bodies will be able to eat. Talk about having heavenly food. Jesus disappeared from their midst. And they had told Thomas, they said, Thomas, Jesus is alive. We saw him in our midst. Thomas said, hey, you know, unless I see him for myself, unless I see the holes in his hands and the holes in his feet and the hole in his side, and I put my hand in his hand and my hand in his side, I will not believe. 8 days later, they were again gathered together. Thomas with them this time. And Jesus steps into the midst of them. And he says, Thomas. Can you imagine? Uh-oh. Doubting Thomas. Here I am. Go ahead. Put your hand into my side. Put your hand into my nail hands. The holes in my hands, the nails. Go ahead. Feel me. Know me. That I am real. That I am tangible. And Thomas believed. Thomas believed. How awesome is that? During this time, there were two men that were walking all along the road to Emmaus, out of Jerusalem. They were distraught. They probably, I don't know for sure, were maybe part of the 70 that were assigned to go two by two and witness for Christ. But as they were walking, they were talking about what had happened. That Jesus had died, and now his body's not in the tomb, and we don't know what to believe, and what's going on, and where have they taken him? And Jesus appears behind them, and they're walking up here, and Jesus kind of picks up speed and gets along beside them and says, what are you talking about? They say, you don't know the things that, where have you been? All of Jerusalem has heard about Jesus. All of them have heard about his crucifixion. All of them are talking about the tomb being robbed. You don't know about these things? And Jesus began to talk to them about the scriptures boldly, about the prophecies that were to come. And that were fulfilled. And they talked and they got to their destination. And they invited them in. And he sat there and was with them and talking to them. And they said that they could feel this burning in their heart. And Jesus ate with them. And then he left. And they knew it was him. And they went. And went to the others. And they ran back to Jerusalem. And they met with the other disciples, the apostles, the women, and told them the same thing. All these things were happening. The disciples were a little bit beside themselves, even though that they had seen Jesus alive. They didn't know what to do. They spent the last 3 years following Jesus, listening to his teaching, being involved in ministry. They didn't know what to do at this point. So what did they do? Many of them went back to their profession. They just went back and got in their boat that night. And they fished all night. Guess what? They didn't catch anything. Does that sound familiar? You know, Jesus talked to them before about this. And what did he tell them? He told them, cast your net on the right side, right? So they're out there and he asks them, have you caught anything? No, I haven't caught anything. Cast your net on the right side. Cast their net, and the net was so full, it was almost impossible to pull in. And Peter goes, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And he was in his boat naked and he threw his, like in his underwear, and he threw his coat on. And he jumped out of the boat and swam to Jesus. Jesus was on the seashore and he had built a fire and put some fish on the coals and the fish was cooking. He had cooked breakfast. He said, come eat breakfast. But they hadn't yet communicated between each other that you're Jesus. You know, Peter said, it's Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. Look at what happened here. It's just like before. The others came forward and finally got into shore. They pulled the net out. They had 153 fish in the net, representing the different nations of the world at the time, fishers of men. And they sat and they looked at him and they listened. And they knew it was him, but they were afraid to ask for confirmation. Do you ever wonder why they would need to ask for confirmation?
What was Jesus, what did his body look like when he was killed? His beard was plucked. He had been beaten.
Do we think that maybe possibly that in a new resurrected body that his body doesn't have any of the earmarks of the punishment that he went through? We know that he has the nail holes in his hands and feet and the hole in his side, but what about the thorns that were in his brow, or what about the effects of being punched or whatever? Maybe he presented himself as he was to them. And they weren't quite sure, but they knew by his words and by his actions what was going on. It was him, but later it was acknowledged. There's so much evidence that Jesus rose from the grave. Impossible that he had been stolen from the tomb. People had seen him. Jesus stood before them. When Jesus saw Mary Magdalene that first time, the first person he appeared to, he said, you know, don't touch me. I haven't yet gone to the Father. But then when the other women went to the tomb, and they had seen the two angels outside the tomb, and Jesus is risen, as they were perplexed about that, they saw Jesus in front of them. And they fell down, and they grabbed his feet, and they worshipped him. They touched him and worshipped him. And he told them, go ahead, go tell the disciples. So much evidence. I believe in Jesus.
John, when he put his head in, he said he believed.
And he looked in the tomb. They hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit, had they?
And over 500 people have witnessed the presence of the resurrected Christ Jesus.
But you and I have the Holy Spirit as believers in Christ.
You and I haven't seen the resurrected Christ. But as believers, you and I have met him. We've done more than met him. He's not just an acquaintance. We know him.
And the more that we talk to him, the more that we walk with him, the more that we listen to him, the more that we serve him, the more that we are in him, the more we have the opportunity to know him, just as we would know our own best friends. Through association. Through time spent together. We know him. One day we'll see him. How glorious will that be? One day we'll have a resurrected body like Christ. And so we have a testament of Jesus resurrected. Let us not take that for granted. Let us not cut that away in our hearts and minds as just a bit of information. But let it stir our spirit. Let it stir our hearts. Let it stir us to a point that says, God is resurrected from the dead, and I don't have to be afraid of death. That in death, the psalmist wrote that, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, thou art with me. The scriptures write that, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The same person that you and I know now, we're being in his presence there. This is not our world. We are passing through this world as journeymen, passing through, but our citizenship is in heaven. And the more we focus on Christ and the things that he has promised us yet to come, the more this world becomes less impressive to us, less important to us, and less relative. But Jesus becomes that much more relevant and bold for us. Before Jesus ascended 40 days from this day of resurrection, he told the disciples something. And I want to read that to you. But I don't want to read it to you as Joseph. But as your pastor. Hot. Let's remember this. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, 16 through 20. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them.
Many saw him, they worshiped, but some still doubted. Mind-boggling what the human heart will do to convince himself not to believe the truth. Resurrected in front of them, tangible, if he still doubted. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always, as to the end of the age." Jesus is with us always, as to the end of the age.
We have him to empower, who has empowered us. We have him to rely on. We have him to help us stand courageous and bold. We have him to follow.
And maybe do that. Maybe not just rejoice in the fact that our souls are saved and when we die, we spend eternity in heaven.
Although that's a great and wonderful gift. But let us rejoice in the fact that we know Jesus and that our lives are surrendered to him and seek to serve him.
In the window here, you see the lilies, and you see the lilies all over. The lilies representing the resurrection, right, of Christ, the purity of Christ, the new life. But that table of lilies underneath the window there with the stained glass representation, it's the gospel of Christ through the Word of God being presented to the world is our mission. It's a great commandment, a great commission to go. Just let us do that. The disciples were so excited. They were leaping with joy. Some were in doubt, but once they wrapped their minds on it, once they accepted it, once they acknowledged it, once they said Jesus is risen from the dead, they could not keep themselves contained for the rest of their lives in sharing the truth of Jesus. And Jesus said to people like you and I who have not seen him, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing." God's given us an added faith to do that. I want to give you an opportunity. If there's someone here this morning that has never asked Jesus into their life as their personal Lord and Savior, know this, that this is just not a little monologue or drama of some sort of stuff that happened. This is real, based upon the Word of God. It is the account of the truth that Jesus has given us. And if you've never asked Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior into your heart and life, he died for you as he died for each of us. And if you'd like to ask him in your heart, then we're going to have a song. I'm going to ask you to come forward if you'd like to pray and ask the Lord in your heart. Say, "I want to ask Jesus in my heart because I do believe in him." And so let's all stand and may God bless you. While we're singing this song, if you feel led to meet me up here and you want to ask Christ in your heart, please come forward and I'll be more than happy to lead you in that prayer to receive Christ. Or maybe there's some other need that you have that you'd like prayer for or some type of decision, whatever it might be, I'm here for you.
The invitation is "Just as I am." The newer version, and think about the words, because God takes us just as we are. We don't have to be good enough. We can never be good enough. Just as I am.
Thank you. your love.
Thank you so much for giving us your Son that we know personally in our hearts. Father, there's someone here this morning who has never personally prayed and asked Jesus in their heart as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that you would reveal yourself to them in ways that they have not understood before. That their heart would be so humbled before you, that they would recognize you and your presence and the truth that you're alive, and that they would receive you with true repentance and remission of sins into their hearts, and that they would live for you as Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you for our church family, my brothers, sisters, Christ, one another. I praise you for what you have done here, not speaking of today, but speaking of our church. And I thank you for the family that we have with one another. May you be glorified in our lives and through us as we seek you. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful Easter. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.